Imagine you're a university researcher who suspects there's a problem with an experimental drug. Now imagine the company that makes that drug says you can't talk publicly about your concerns. That actually happened to a scientist in Toronto. Her story appears in this week's New England Journal of Medicine, along with several other papers about the hazards of universities collaborating with drug companies on medical research. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Dr. Nancy Oliveri had spent years doing government-funded research on a promising drug called deferiprone. It's a pill that removes iron from the blood. That's important for people with a genetic disease called thalassemia. They get a lot of blood transfusions, which can lead to dangerously high levels of iron. In 1995, Dr. Oliveri began seeing evidence that deferiprone often didn't work very well and might also be toxic. She became worried about some of the people taking the drug.
These were actually, I should say, my patients. They weren't just subjects of the drug trial under my supervision. These are patients that I have managed for 20 years. So we needed to tell the patients the truth about what we believed about the drug.
But by this time, a drug company called Apotex had become a collaborator in the research. The company said a confidentiality agreement Oliveri had signed gave it complete control of information about the drug.
Apotex sent me a letter saying you will be served with all legal remedies should you tell patients, parents, regulatory agencies, or the scientific community of these concerns which are wrong. You have misinterpreted your data.
So Oliveri asked for help from the Hospital for Sick Children, where she worked, and from the University of Toronto. She didn't get much. It later emerged that the university had been negotiating a gift from Apotex worth many millions of dollars. Oliveri spoke up anyway and paid the price.
I've lost my career. I've lost enormous amount of money. And I've lost the momentum that comes from wanting to do science for the very sake of it. You don't do it for anything but wanting to do it for the patients and for basically the creative energy. That's all gone.
Oliveri's case is extreme, but not unusual. Scientists have a long tradition of sharing information. Companies often want to keep things to themselves. Conflicts are inevitable. And they've become so common that last year, editors of the world's most powerful medical journals took action. They said they would reject studies funded by industry unless the scientists who did them were guaranteed certain things. These include a role in designing the study, access to all data, and complete freedom to report the results. But medical centers have yet to insist on these provisions. Dr. Kevin Shulman of Duke University contacted more than 100 medical schools. His survey appears in this week's New England Journal of Medicine.
Unfortunately, most sites were not in compliance with the guidelines that the medical editors had put forward, and actually the level of compliance was fairly low.
Dr. Jeffrey Drazen, the editor of the New England Journal, says the results show that contracts still favor industry. One reason, he says, is that universities fear companies will take their research somewhere else.
15 years ago, academic institutions were in control because they had the patients and they had the expertise. The drug companies now have the expertise, and they realize they can get the patients through contract research organizations.
These are independent firms that make their money recruiting patients for studies. But their work lacks the prestige of a study done at a major medical center and published in a leading journal. Drazen says the way forward for universities is to act together to protect researchers by demanding a single standard contract for industry research. He says such a contract could have prevented what happened to Nancy Oliveri. Dr. Oliveri herself says the public has a huge stake in preserving academic freedom.
If I'd been effectively silenced, this drug would have had only favorable reports. So I suspect the drug would be widely in use, would have been sold, and no one would have known anything about this.
As it is, deferiprone isn't sold in Canada or the United States, although it is sold in some other countries. Oliveri continues to fight lawsuits filed by Apotex, totaling $20 million. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.